The Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 30 to 47. This will be part 2 as we attempt to finish out this chapter today. Remember, this entire teaching section of Jesus was brought about because at the beginning of the chapter, he healed a man at the pool of Bethesda. This caused the religious leaders to be upset because Jesus commanded him to rise up and take up his bed and walk on the Sabbath day. When the Jewish leaders found out that it was Jesus who healed the man and commanded him to take up his bed, they confronted Jesus as they were seeking to kill him or have him put to death for blasphemy. Because not only was he breaking the Sabbath day, but then after confronting Jesus, hearing what he had to say, they concluded that Jesus was making himself equal to God. That was blasphemy to them, unless he was God. Because Jesus said, "My Father works on the Sabbath day, and so do I." So they sought to have him put to death for two indictments. One was for breaking the Sabbath day, and number two was blasphemy, because he made himself equal to God. That caused the teachings from verses 19 through 29. As the Lord, as a matter of fact, apokrinoto is the first word of verse 19 in the Greek text, which is the form of the Greek word for to answer an indictment. Not just to answer someone in general, but to answer an indictment. And the three things that he presented to them, characterized by amen, amen, at each turn, was the ability of the Son. That the Son's ability, his ability and capacity in ministry, is not from out of himself. But whatever the Father does, he himself does. So the Father and the Son are doing exactly the same things. The Son is not acting independently of the Father, nor the Father of the Son. Secondly, the audience of the Son. The audience of the Son are those people who are having the Word of God. They're in the Word of God continuously. They're continuously hearing the Word. And they are continuously believing the Word of God. One of the characteristics and the fruit of somebody who is saved or belongs to Christ is they are continually hearing the Word and continually believing the Word. That can only come by the ministry and of God's Spirit that has been working in their life. And the third thing, we saw the ability of the Son, we saw the audience of the Son, and the third thing is the authority of the Son. The Father has given to the Son all authority for judgment. It will be at the voice of the Son that the dead will be raised and that everybody will answer to Christ. The Father gives the Son all authority so that everyone who honors the Father should honor the Son in the same manner. Give the same honor to the Son as they do the Father. And when the dead are raised in the resurrection, there'll be those who practice the good things will be raised to a resurrection of life, and those who practiced corrupt things will be raised to a resurrection of judgment. Now last week at verse 30, the Lord continued his testimony, the sevenfold testimony of the Son. In other words, verses 19 through 29, those are some pretty bold statements to make. Based upon what witness and testimony are these statements true? You can really see a beautiful presentation. It's a form of an answer to a legal indictment. First presenting the facts about the Son. And then the testimony about the Son. There are sevenfold testimony about the Son. The first one, and we'll read through now, verses 30 through 47. The first one is verses 30 through 32. Jesus said, "I myself am not able to do one thing from myself. According as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I am not seeking my will, but the will of the Father who has sent me." And if I myself should testify concerning myself, my testimony is not true. Another is the one who is testifying concerning me, and I know that the testimony which he testifies concerning me is true. You yourselves have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. But I myself do not receive testimony from man. But I am saying these things in order that you might be saved. That one was the burning and shining lamp. And you yourselves desired to celebrate for an hour in his light. But I myself have a greater testimony than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me in order that I should complete them, these same works which I myself am doing testify concerning me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father who has sent me, he himself has testified concerning me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor have you seen his form. And his word you do not have abiding in you, because whom that one, meaning the Father, sent, this one, again the Son, you yourselves are not believing. You are searching the Scriptures. Notice the translation there. Many English texts use it as a command. Search the Scriptures. But the word hoti there at the end, when he talks about search the Scriptures, let me find my place again. Verse 39, he says, search the Scriptures because hoti. A hoti doesn't fit with a command. It fits with something that they are doing. You are searching the Scriptures because, showing the reason why they are searching the Scriptures, so it's not a command, because you yourselves think that in them to have eternal life. And these are the ones who are testifying concerning me. And you do not have a desire to come to me in order that you might have life. I do not receive glory from man, but I have known you that the love of God you do not have in yourselves. I myself have come in the name of my Father, and you do not receive me. If another should come in his own name, that one you will receive. How are you yourselves able to believe, ones who are receiving glory from one another, how are you able to receive the glory that comes from God only? Do not think that I myself will accuse you to the Father. There is one who is accusing you, Moses, into whom you have trusted. For if you were believing Moses, you would have believed. Notice the imperfect with on adds a subjunctive to it. You would have believed me, for that one wrote concerning me. And if you are not believing the writings of that one, meaning Moses, how will you believe my words? The sevenfold testimony, first of all, verses 30 through 32 that we took last week, Jesus said, the first testimony of a person is not from themselves. If a person testifies concerning themselves, it's interesting information. But if that's all you have is a testimony, it does not stand up in court. There are other witnesses that must be brought in, especially under Jewish law, that that from two or three witnesses everything shall be established. So if all you have is your own witness and you are presenting yourself as being God, you must have others testifying either with you or apart from you. Even though the Lord's judgment is just, what he hears, he judges. What he hears from the Father, he himself is passing on the judgment. He is not able, according to verse 30, to judge anything from out of himself. It's in conjunction with the Father, even though the Son has been given all judgment by the Father. And that his testimony concerning himself is not true, even though it is true, but Jesus says, I am seeking not my own will, but the will of the one who sent me, and that's why my judgment is just. I'm not seeking my will, and I'm not seeking my judgment. I'm seeking the judgment of the Father. But my witness, just because of what I just witnessed to you, which is a repeat of what he said in verses 19 to 23, that all judgment has been given to him by the Father, even though he's repeating that, he's telling them, but if all I have is just me giving the testimony, then my testimony is not true. There have to be others that testify. Beginning at verse 33 and going through verse 35 is the testimony of John that we saw last week. The second testimony is the testimony of John. He says, you have sent to John. And John testified concerning the truth. But he says, I just want to tell you this. Just because you rejected John's testimony, Jesus said, I do not receive testimony from man. Even though he was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a short time to celebrate in his light, your rejection of his testimony doesn't affect the facts about who the Son is. But he is a testimony, but he's a human testimony. He's man's testimony. And somebody can just say, well, concerning John the Baptist, we don't believe in his ministry, and that just wipes out all the testimony. Thirdly, in verse 36, Jesus says, I have a greater testimony than that of John. He says, the works which the Father has given me in order that I should complete them, these very works which I myself am doing, they testify concerning me that the Father has sent me. The third testimony is the works. The works that Jesus did. He came in fulfillment of all that the Scriptures and the Old Testament said that he would do. We focused last week on the prophecies of Isaiah that said that when Messiah comes, he would be performing miracles. He'd be healing the blind and healing the lame and raising the dead, and the poor would have the gospel preached to them. And that's why Jesus came, and he performed the miracles that he did. He performed the miracles as signs. The signs were to point back to the prophecy. If I were to entitle the ministry of Jesus, it would be connect the dots. What I'm doing is what the prophet said the Messiah would do. So who am I? You know, that was his presentation. Jesus said, "Don't believe me because of what I say." Even though John testified concerning the truth, and he is a witness, don't believe just because of John. He's just a human witness. You can eliminate him. But he says, there, I have something greater than John, the works that I'm doing which the Father has given me to do. These works testify concerning me that the Father has sent me. In other words, whatever I'm doing, just take it and just place it right over the Old Testament, all the prophecies, and his works will fit with all the prophecies. Fourthly, in verse 37, he says, the Father who has sent me, he himself has testified concerning me, and you have neither heard his voice, nor have you seen his form. So the next witness to that of Jesus is the Father himself. Three times it's recorded in Scriptures that the Father says, behold my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And so Jesus said, if I just testify from myself, that testimony is not allowed in court, if that's all you have. But there's the works. Take the works and search, you know, in a moment he's going to say, you're searching the Scriptures. You're searching the very things that are testifying concerning me. Put the two together. You'll see that my works are testifying. But he says, now the Father is testifying, but he tells them, you have neither heard his voice, nor have you seen his form. And that's an indictment against them. How can you hear and receive the testimony of the Father when you're spiritually dead and you're rejecting his Son? Therefore, you can't hear the Father. So he says, the Father has testified concerning me. Others have heard the voice. Others have received the testimony, but you haven't. You have neither heard his voice, nor have you seen his form. The next testimony is verse 38 to 42. The testimony of the Word of God. Jesus said, and his Word you do not have abiding in you. The Word of the Father. The word abiding is a participle. So again, just like he mentioned up in verse 24, that those who are the audience of the Son are those who are continually hearing and believing the Word, Jesus said, you do not have his Word abiding in you. And that's very interesting. Again, there's an emphasis in Scripture not on knowing the Scripture, because the Jews knew the Scriptures. But they did not have his Word abiding, dwelling continuously in them. The person that has Christ dwelling in them has his Word dwelling in them, because it is the Spirit of Christ that continues to minister, develop, and transform and change our lives by the ministry of the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it is God's chosen way to bring God's Word to his people. If you are not one of his people, the Word of God will be boring and won't mean a thing. It'll just be a book. And the study of the Word of God will be a religious exercise. But it is interesting. Again, one of the characteristics of the life of the person that belongs to Christ is that they are continually hearing his Word, continually believing his Word, and his Word is continually abiding and remaining in them. He says, his Word you do not have abiding in you, because that whom that one, meaning the Father, sent, this one you yourselves do not believe. You are searching the Scriptures, he says. It's not a command. He's telling them, you are searching the Scriptures. Here's the reason why. Because you are thinking. The word dokeo for thinking means to presume. You are presuming that in them you have eternal life. Boy, does that hit home. How many people today professing to be Christians base their belief on their head knowledge of the Bible? And they are continually searching the Scriptures and they can quote it backwards and forwards. But that doesn't mean the person's saved. That doesn't even mean the person belongs to Christ. He says, you are searching them because in them. In other words, if you took a person's Bible away from them, what kind of relationship with Christ would they have? Sometimes it's built on just a systematic theological position in the Bible. You try to talk to them about the Lord, they just recite this system that they've memorized. And you try to talk to them about the Lord, and there's nothing personal there. There's no personal relationship. But it is interesting, Jesus says, you are searching the Scriptures, and in them, because in them, you think that you have eternal life. And these are the ones who are testifying concerning me. So the Bible points us to Christ. Interesting, the brother that called me on the phone, interested in our studies and saying he and his wife listen to the studies. They've been going through 1 Corinthians. And in one of our studies, we presented the fact that Paul says that you as churches, you as groups in Corinth, you've divided yourselves off and separated yourselves off from one another, calling yourselves by your teacher's name, dividing the body of Christ. He says the whole, Paul ministered that the whole point of the Word of God and the ministry of the Word is to bring people into fellowship with Christ. Light goes on. Oh, God gives His Word and the ministry of His Word to bring us into a relationship and fellowship with Christ. Not a system. Not an organization. This is a means by which God ministers to give us information about the Lord and draw us into His presence and into fellowship with Him. But there are some people that specialize in learning the Bible, thinking that in this there's eternal life, and it isn't. The Scriptures testify of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 40, here's the real problem. You do not desire to come to me in order that you might have life. He again repeats it. I myself do not receive glory from man, but I have known you that the love of God you do not have in yourselves. You see, when God's Spirit is in a person, the love of God is also there. Galatians 5:22 says love, agape love, is produced by God's Spirit. The love that belongs to the Father, genitive case. That love, he says, you don't have in you. You have no signs of being concerned about the Lord or coming to Christ. So it's not just a relationship with Scripture. There are people who specialize in a scriptural system of doctrine. But it's coming to Christ. The Word brings us to Christ, not to be a Bible specialist. But he says, you don't come to me. You don't have. He says, I have known you that the love of God you do not have in yourselves. The next, which is the sixth testimony, verse 43, I myself have come in the name of my Father. Interesting. When you come in someone's name, you represent them. That's who you represent. When we send an ambassador to another country, if they are an ambassador of the United States to that country, they represent the United States. They come in the name of the United States and everything that it represents. When Jesus came, he says, I have come in my Father's name. He hasn't even come in his own name. I come in my Father's name representing the Father. So if you don't believe me, you can go to the Father and you'll see that I'm testifying to and I'm doing everything that the Father's doing. He says, I myself have come in the name of my Father and you do not receive me. But if another person should come in his own name, that one you'll receive. How are you able to believe, you who are receiving glory from one another, and you are not seeking the glory that comes from God only? Interesting. You know, Bob Foster Ministries comes into town. This Bob Foster happens to have the anointing of God, but all the focus is on Bob Foster. Jesus said, I don't even come in my own name. If somebody else comes in their name, you jump on the bandwagon. He says, I don't come in my own name. I come in the name of the Father. And if I'm doing something or saying something that's opposite of the Father, well, you can go to Him and check it out. I represent Him. So the name in which He came and who He represented. Seventhly, in verse 45, do not think that I myself will accuse you to the Father. The one who is accusing you is Moses, into whom you yourselves have hoped. For if you were believing Moses, you would have believed me, for that one wrote concerning me. And if you are not believing the writings of that one, meaning Moses, how will you believe my words? So the Lord says, the next witness against you and for me is Moses. Moses wrote concerning me. Moses testified, Deuteronomy chapters 6 and 8, that God told Moses that he would raise up one from among them, amongst the Jews. He would be called the prophet. And the Lord said to Moses that the words that he speaks, I will require it from everyone. So that when Jesus came, and that's why when John the Baptist was out baptizing in the wilderness, and they sent a delegation out to say, who are you? Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet? Because they were expecting the prophet of God, who is the Messiah, to come. John said no. But Jesus came and he said, the testimony of Moses. Moses testified concerning me, and You say you believe him. You're putting all your hope in what Moses has said and done, that it's the Word of God. But Moses wrote about me. The Scriptures wrote about me. The Father has testified about me. John has testified about me. And another positive point, though it's a negative, because I have so much testifying as to the facts concerning me, I'm not even going to testify concerning myself. It's not true. It's the others. My life must line up with the Father and must line up with the Word in order, and Moses and all the Scriptures, in order for it to be true. It's a beautiful presentation, just like a lawyer would present the facts before the Jewish leaders. A sevenfold testimony, all according to the law and the legal requirements in a courtroom. And as he presents these testimonies, there's no response. What are you going to say? Of course, once a Jewish leader were to step forward and say, wait a minute, you made some pretty serious accusations against us by saying we don't believe what Moses said. Once you get into a scriptural argument with the Lord, you're in trouble. Because had somebody stepped forward and said, now which ones do we believe in that apply to you? They didn't want to know. There's no response to this. He presents the facts about himself, and then he presents the sevenfold testimony that gives him the authority to make these statements about himself. No takers. Nobody there to come up against him and against his testimony. Next week, as we begin chapter 6, the Lord passes over the sea, and we have the feeding of the 5,000. John chapter 6, again, another tremendous chapter in the ministry and presentation of Christ, not only of who He is, but of those who belong to Him. Who are they? What are their characteristics? Tremendous things to learn from that chapter that we'll take starting next week. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You again for Your Word. We thank You for the testimony that You have presented. We pray that the testimony of Christ and who He is, His ability, His authority, would be implanted in our hearts. Not only is the great judge, but because He lives in our hearts, He is the great authority of God. We do not have somebody sent out from the Father as a young child messenger, friend type person, but the very presence of the embodiment of God Himself. Help us to understand that with You dwelling in us, day in and day out, we have the Spirit of God with us the whole time, to minister to us, to comfort us, to protect us, and to guide us. May we approach our Lord for who He is in all of His authority and power and glory. May we turn to Him for all of our needs and for our protection and for our guidance in life. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.